Well, as we conclude our series called Healing Conversations today, I want to encourage you to be mindful of why we did this series to begin with. Ultimately, it was to help in creating more meaningful and life-giving conversations. It was to engage and also to teach and train us how to further engage in conversations that with people that have different views or even different opinions than you do. And then ultimately, it's really an opportunity to help you to survive the game of hopscotch through this minefield called society. Well, my wife and I, Kaylee, have been in ministry for many, many years. And in ministry, we always had a motto, no matter if we were going on a retreat or if we were going on an event or whatever we were doing, even if we were around the building, when we were with our students, we always told them this motto: leave it better than you found it. Leave it better than you found it. And this motto, actually, when we began to have kids, we carried that motto into our family. And so my son and daughter both know that we always leave things better than we found them. And especially when we're at restaurants, and especially when the kids were little, this was an intention for us to be mindful of leaving things better than we found it. So one time, my father-in-law and I took the kids to lunch at Taco Bueno in Bethany, Oklahoma. And Parker loved to play this game when he was in a high chair where he would drop food on the ground. And, you know, we did all those things to try to stop him from dropping the food. But it always ended up, there was more food on the ground that ended up in his mouth or even that was on his high chair tray. Well, at the end of the meal, inevitably, we would have food on the ground and enough to feed a small village. And I would say to the kids every time, okay, remember, we're going to leave it better than we found it. So in this particular case, I went to the counter and I asked for a broom and a dustpan, and I went and I, you know, took the broom and picked it all up. Well, it caught the attention of a woman that was in the restaurant with us. And she came over and she said, "Excuse me, sir." She said, "Why did you feel it was necessary to clean up the area?" And I said, "Well, actually, our family has a motto, and our motto is leave it better than we found it." And she just was totally blown away by this. She immediately turned to my father-in-law and she said, "You should be very proud, and you did a great job." Well, my father-in-law kind of laughed and he said, "Well, I can't take any credit for it." But then she also turned to Peyton and she said, "Your daddy's a good daddy, and you need to listen to what he says, because he's teaching you well." Now, out of all the stories that I could remember about being affirmed or having words of affirmation brought to me, that was the one that stuck out the most. It wasn't from my wife or my parents or a coach or a teacher or even a pastor. Now, they've all affirmed me at times in my life. But it was this 3-minute conversation with an unknown woman at a Taco Bueno in Bethany, Oklahoma, that I remembered being affirmed. Now, I share this with you for two reasons. One, because we're going to talk about affirmation today and using and utilizing the element of affirmation into the soil of healing conversations as we move forward. The second reason I share that with you is because you have no idea how just an affirming word to somebody can make a difference in their life. In fact, I don't want you to miss the opportunities to affirm and to seek out and find those opportunities of affirming those around you. Well, this is a good place for us to pause. And I want to encourage you to go to the talk sheet that you can download. It's the started out portion of our talk sheet. And again, this is an example of a talk sheet right here on the screen that you will download and you can use for discussion, dialogue, and conversation. When you're ready, just press play and we'll resume the message. If you want to continue in the message without pausing for the dialogue portion, just wait 5 seconds and the message will immediately begin. Well, I want to invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And it's here in Ephesians chapter 4 that Paul gives us an incredible and powerful working definition of affirmation. In fact, you might ask yourself, why was Paul writing this letter to the Ephesians? And here in chapter 4, he gives an indication why. It's because people are people. Now, you have to remember, in these tiny little house churches that were started by Paul and by others, they had struggles. They actually didn't always get along. In fact, we see here in Ephesians chapter 4 that Paul is talking about the fact that the early Christians struggled with anger, with bitterness, stealing, lying, dirty talk, and even having hard feelings. And this is all within the church. So be encouraged by the fact that Paul is helping us to see and find that we, although we struggle being people, there is an opportunity to be affirming within that. So I want you to pick up here in verse 29. So we're in Ephesians 4, verse 29, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV. I like the language. I think it's a little bit easier for us to follow Paul's thought process here as he's writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So here, Paul again is writing a powerful understanding of affirmation, and as he would define it, would be, number one, no unwholesome talk. Now, our first inclination and first thought is no unwholesome talk means no cussing. But he goes a little bit further. In fact, I want us to think about this question for a second. What is unwholesome to you? What is unwholesome talk to you, more specifically? I want you to think about that for a second. Because I think the word unwholesome here can mean a couple of different things. Some would say that it's negative or being critical in a conversation, that could be considered unwholesome. Some would say that it's profane and rude language that would describe something unwholesome in our talk. But then others may say that it's petty or inappropriate gossip, that would be considered unwholesome in our talk. But Paul wants to land the plane very specifically with this word unwholesome in the Greek. He actually is utilizing a word that means rotten or putrid. So he's basically saying, don't let any rotten or putrid language or talk come out of your mouth. Now, it is the second time that it's used in Scripture, and it's only used twice. The other time that this word is used in Scripture is when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to them about the fact that a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Jesus is even communicating to his disciples that bad trees produce rotten or putrid fruit. And he's saying that good trees will produce good fruit. So what's interesting here is that I want you to know, affirming words are not unwholesome. Affirming words are not unwholesome. In fact, this leads us to our second main point, as Paul would define affirmation to be helpful and builds others up. Paul said this multiple times in his letters. In fact, I just want to share some examples for you. To the church in Thessalonica, he said, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." And then later in verse 14 in the same letter, he says, "Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone." And then to the church in Colossae, he said, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." You see here, Paul, throughout his letters, and especially here in Ephesians 4, is communicating that affirmation is helpful and it builds up. But if we're honest, I think that phrase "builds up" is a little bit vague. What does that mean to be to build up? And I think Paul left it vague on purpose, because he continues in verse 29 when he says, and this is our third point, that it needs to be according to their needs. So that affirmation needs to be according to the needs of the person that you're speaking to. Affirmation is not according to what we want to say. Now, this is really, really important. Instead, Paul reminds us that affirmation is helpful, that it builds up, and it's according to the needs of the person to whom you are speaking. This means that affirmation is not a one-size-fits-all. It's very specific to the person that you're in a conversation with. And that needs to be the indication. It needs to be indicated that the person that you're speaking to is an individual, that they're a person that has needs and that they have circumstances that they're struggling with or going through. And when we affirm, we want to recognize those needs and those circumstances. And now this is regardless of how you feel, because it's not about how you feel, it's about their needs. And it's irresponsible for us to think anything less. We can't just consider that it's about what we want to say. Instead, we have to consider the needs and the circumstances of the person that we're talking to. Now, as we talked about it last week, a sign of respect is to stop, carve out time, to make time to be able to sit down with somebody. And I firmly believe that this is so vitally important, especially right now, that we need to stop long enough to have a conversation with somebody so that we can identify their needs and identify the circumstances that they find themselves in. Sometimes they're not willing to share that, but through conversation, you can pick up on the clues or the context to why maybe they're struggling. And here's the important part about that. When we stop long enough and we hear the needs of the person, then it assures that our affirmation is not glib, or that it's not, that it would be more genuine. And our affirmation isn't just lip service or patronizing. This is really important. Now, here's a question that you might be considering. What if you disagree with them? What if there's a sharp disagreement between the two of you? Well, affirmation is a really valuable tool to keep in your healing conversation toolbox. Let me explain. If someone is upset, if there is a disagreement, if they're angry, or maybe there's a concern in the conversation, affirming their needs, being able to place yourself in their shoes, looking at it from maybe their perspective. Remember, it's not about what you say per se, it's about their needs and what they're hearing. This is your best opportunity. Affirmation is your best opportunity to find the middle way. And again, remember, the middle way is not about winning and losing. It's not about power or weakness. It's about identifying that the person that you're sitting in front of is a person and that they're made in the image of God and that you genuinely desire to hear their needs and also to recognize their concerns. And this leads us to our fourth point of the scripture. Affirmation is defined as being as benefiting the listener. Again, I want to go back just real quick to Ephesians 4:29. I want to read the whole verse again because we've been building these blocks here, but I want you to hear it in the context. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening," or those who listen. So when we go to this fourth point about benefiting the listener, have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they were offended by your affirming words? I know I have. I've been blamed of this. And I remember walking away, or I remember recalling or thinking back to the conversation, and I'm thinking, but I was affirming you. I was encouraging. I was trying to be helpful to you. But even at the end of all of that, they still walked away upset or hurt by your affirming words. And I think that this reminds us what Paul is getting at and what he's taught me here in Ephesians 4:29. The right to call words affirming is not decided by the speaker, but instead by the one who is listening. This is so, again, important. I know I keep saying that this is important because it is. I want you to apply this to your lives. Think about that in regards to your conversation. You might believe that you're saying the most loving, kind, and affirming words to somebody else. But if they are not translating it that way, that's not what they're hearing. Because again, the right to call words affirming is not decided by the speaker. It's instead decided by the one who is listening. This is a game changer. If we understood this concept going into every conversation, I think it would make a huge difference in the result and the level of integrity, the level of engagement, and the level of healing that can happen in that conversation. And I'll be honest with you, this is one of the hardest parts of finding the middle ground, because it takes two. It takes both people. So we're going to stop here again. This is going to be the portion where we go to the talk it out section of our talk sheet. And as you talk it out, I encourage you to, and I hope that you're watching this with a group of friends or your small group or a life group or your micro church or house church. And this is the opportunity to really dialogue and discuss the scriptures that we've been referencing and mentioning, especially Ephesians 4:29. If you're not watching this with a group, that's okay. Text somebody, talk with them about the questions that are raised in the talk sheet. Or maybe you can journal or just spend some quiet time thinking through this process and what does it mean and what does it look like to be affirming in your context with people. So again, if you want to continue in the message or when you're ready to continue the message, just wait 5 seconds or press play and the message will immediately begin. Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, and I've mentioned this before in this series, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Now, when we talked about humility as an element that's needed to be in the soil of a healing conversation, humility addresses the need for knowledge to stay in check. You maybe have heard this phrase or this quote before, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's what humility offers us. It keeps knowledge in check. It's not about how much you know. It's about how deeply you care. An affirmation addresses the second part of that scripture, which is the necessity for love to build up. So the number one goal, and I want to make sure you hear this, the number one goal of a healing conversation is to build up. If you're in a healing conversation, or if you're engaging in a conversation that might be difficult, the goal should be to treat somebody with respect and that you walk away and they're built up. We need to allow God the space and the Holy Spirit the space to work through our vulnerability, the vulnerability of trust and humility, respect and affirmation. This is not an easy process. I'm not going to stand here and say that this is easy to do or that I've been the best person at this, but I sure can tell you that I'm trying. And I can sure tell you that I'm leaning on how God wants to continue to teach me, and I pray will teach you how to infuse trust, respect, humility, and affirmation into your conversations. I want to go back and affirm, see what I did there, the intention of the entire series. And that is to simply see and genuinely see what Jesus sees. And that is that everyone is a child of God made in the image of God. I believe we always have to remember that everybody is a child of God made in the image of God, that we're all image bearers. And the opportunity for us is to be an image bearer in that conversation to another one who is God's child and to see them the way that Jesus sees them. And then also that even in our differences, everyone has something important to teach us. Everybody. And I believe if we put all this together, that we can begin to really move the needle of what it means to live on mission with Jesus in the world. What it really means to advance the kingdom, because we're going to advance the kingdom not by just what we do with our hands and not by just what we do with our feet, but we will also advance the kingdom by what we do with our mouths, what we do with our words, and what we do with our conversations. because it'll be one conversation at a time that will begin to shape and change the hearts of those who might be far from God, to be able to start leading them back, not by your power or authority, but by His power and His authority. If we're truly going to be a faith community who lives on mission with Jesus in the world, then we have to learn how to find the middle way and to engage in healing conversations. Ultimately, our goal needs to be that through every conversation with people, that we will leave people better than we found them. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I praise you and I thank you for the power of this series, for recognizing, Lord, that you desire through your Holy Spirit to infuse us with your knowledge, your love, and your guidance. Lord, I pray that we are continually mindful that each person on this planet was not made by mistake, that they are an image bearer, that they are your children. And that as your child, Lord, I pray that we would continue to be mindful that everybody is important in your eyes and has something to even teach us. So Lord, I pray for those moments. I pray for those opportunities. Lord, I pray that you would give us the words to speak in those moments. Lord, I just was reading in Matthew about how you said to the disciples, don't worry about what to say because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. So Lord, that's our prayer. We want to hold you accountable to that promise that you will give us the words when we need them. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be softened and open to be able to have more engaging, healthy, and healing conversations. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this in your name. Amen. Well, as we end our time, we're going to end with the benediction. And the benediction is an awesome opportunity to experience a blessing over your week. And especially this week and the weeks to come, I want to pray this blessing over you. And I encourage you just to simply open up your hands and to receive these words. And as you know it, I also encourage you to say it with me. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.